Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Revelation chapter 2. In verse 25, the Word of God says, "Hold fast what you have till I come." When Jesus says, "till I come," he's essentially saying it always. Now, this is very important. If I am to have a successful life, and that's one of the things that the Word of God does for us, it gives us a successful life. If I'm to have a successful life, I have to hold fast what I have. Now, the hold fast, literally, it's the word krateo. It's written in the Greek. And it means take hold of it and use it as the source of your strength. So he's saying, what has been given to you, take hold of it, and use it as the source of your strength. In other words, don't rely on anything else. This is your strength. Anything else will be your weakness. How many people like weakness? I like it when I'm weak. Show hands. I like it when I'm weak. I like it when I have to pick something up and it's too heavy for me and I hurt myself. I like that. You're looking at me like I'm nuts. That's because if you're thinking that way, you'd have to be nuts. Nobody likes weakness. Why? Because it's not good for us. How many people like when they have strength? I like when I have strength. I like when I can pick something up and it's a piece of cake and I don't hurt myself. I like when I have the ability to do things. I like when I have the wisdom to know what to do next. Those are good things. Weakness, that's not so good. Anything other than what God imparts in His Word becomes a source of weakness. Now, that doesn't mean we have to be religious. In other words, we don't do weird things. We don't do things just so that we can show how religious and pious and holy we are. That's silly. That means that we have the ability to think and to do and to respond, and we have the things that we need in order to function because of the Word of God. That gives us those abilities. It's not given so I can show off how much I know. It's not given so I can be better than the next guy. It's not given for anything like that. That's actually misusing the Word of God. It is given to equip us, to give us all the things that we need so that we can function in the best manner possible, in the best way for us possible. The Word of God is the source of our strength, and it becomes the answer for everything that we have. So hold on to it and use it as your source. That's what he's saying. Now, there's only a small number of things that he says that really come out of this, but these things really define everything for us. So, what it's saying is life is not complicated. Life is really simple. By the way, if it's complicated, you're doing it wrong. You ever meet somebody who says, "Oh, my life is so complicated"? Yeah, that's because you're doing it wrong. Life is not complicated. Life is simple. Where it becomes complicated is when I want to start ignoring the Word of God and start figuring things out according to the way maybe I feel or what I prefer or whatever, and those things take me nowhere. Tried and true road to nowhere. If you want an absolute guarantee to go nowhere, do things apart from the Word of God, and you'll get nowhere. 100% guaranteed. Do things using the Word of God, and you'll get as far as God wants you to go. And with God, often the sky's the limit. So he's saying it's very simple. Hold on to this. It's tried and true. And use this as your strength. In 2 Timothy 1:13, he said, "Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you heard from me in faith and love in Christ Jesus." The pattern of sound words, it's talking about the principles. The principles from the Word of God Hold fast to those things. You guys sit in church and you listen to the Word of God. Don't lose the message. Don't let that be taken from you. The message is given so that you're equipped to handle life. The older you get, the more you're going to realize that this is absolutely true. There's a whole lot of people who cannot handle life. You're starting to realize this in high school more and more, I think. And they'll turn to really weird things like, I'm all that and a bag of chips because I can throw a ball. I'm sorry, if you think you're so amazing because you have the ability to swing your arm in a certain way, you don't have a lot going on. But people are like that. Because they can pick up a ball and throw it in a certain way, they say, oh, you're amazing. You can throw the ball. I can kick it too. You know, it's such weird thinking. Why are they doing that? Because there's not a whole lot going on, and then they have to figure something out that they can use as their identity so they can feel like they've got something going on when in truth they've got nothing going on. Now, I'm not saying if a person is good at throwing a ball that they don't have anything going on. I'm saying is when that's the guy who says, hey, I'm all that and a bag of chips because I can throw a ball, that's the guy who has nothing going on. You meet some of these great athletes. Now, I don't know them personally, but I know people who know them personally. And some of those guys are like the nicest, most humble people, and some of them are puffheads. But some of them are really humble kind of guys, really easygoing guys. I met Johnny Unitas a couple of times. He was like the nicest guy. He was just the most easygoing guy. He didn't care who you were. He'll strike up a conversation with anybody. And he was one of the greatest football players of history. But he didn't think of himself, oh, well, I'm this great football player. He says, no, I'm just an ordinary guy who knows how to throw a football. That's the right attitude. That's the guy who had something going on. But these guys who think they're all that because they can throw a football or baseball or whatever it happens to be that they can do, if that's your identity, you've got nothing. Because that has to be your identity. You've got nothing else to be your identity. He says, your real identity, the thing that really gives you something going on, is the Word of God stored in your heart, the principles of the Word of God. Do you know why? Because it teaches you how to think. One of the greatest doctors that ever lived was a man named Ben Carson. He was a brain surgeon. And he was a wonderful Christian. And he used the Word of God in his approach to medicine. Because he knew that God could give him understanding that science alone could not give him. God could give him creativity that science alone could not give him. God could give him a way to do things that science alone could not give him. He knew that God could give him in the middle of surgery, and he'd literally have people's heads open because he was a brain surgeon. And in the middle of surgery, God would tell him, okay, do this, do that, do this, do that. Yes, he had great education. I mean, you have to if you're going to be a brain surgeon. But he had great education and more. He knew how to hear the Word of God. He knew how to respond to the Word of God. And he knew how to think with God in the middle of something like brain surgery. Well, it doesn't have to be brain surgery. It can be anything at all that you're doing. Maybe you're an artist. If you know how to think with God and you're an artist, then God can show you a way to do your art that you would never come up with without His Word. It expands your thinking incredibly. The Word of God does. It expands your ability incredibly. So he's saying here, hold fast the principles from the Word of God that you learned from me and use them. Hold them fast. Let them become a source of your power, your ability. Rely on the Word of God. For no matter what you do, it doesn't have to be just church. It can be any detail in life. And it's really designed to be any detail in life. The Bible isn't designed just for church. The Bible is given in church so that you're equipped for everything else. So use it. You're in school. and you're learning something, I don't know, history or geography or math or English, whatever it is that you're learning, use the Word of God in your thinking. Now, I have a background in science. And my Bible background came before my science background. And when I was learning science, I saw all these things you would never see, other people could not see, because they didn't have the Word of God to illuminate what they were learning to them. So they could memorize things from science, but they had no grasp of the greatness, how big it was, or the full meaning of it. That's what Paul is saying here to Timothy. Like, use those principles in your everyday thinking. You're learning biology, compare it to the Word of God. And you're going to see a whole lot more in biology than you could have ever seen before. It says in Hebrews 3:6, hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing and the joy of the hope firm unto the end. Okay, hold fast your confidence. Let your confidence in the Word of God be your strength. Sometimes people think with the Word of God and they say to themselves, will this really work for me? Hello, it's the Word of God. What do you think? I mean, if you've ever heard a stupid question, that's one of them. Will the Word of God work for me? Let me figure that one out. It worked for God. Will it work for me? Yes, it will work for you. Can I trust it? Hello, God gave it. Can you trust it? Are you breathing? Then yes, you can trust it. So long as you're breathing, you can trust the Word of God. If you start breathing, you don't have to worry about it anymore. So yes, you can trust the Word of God. Yes, it will work for you. Yes, you can rely on it. Yes, it is dependable. Yes, as it says, so it will be. Everything in there is 100% reliable. You can trust it. But I think I see something and it's not agreeing with the Word of God. Can I trust it? You ever go on the road? You'll be driving along the road and you see a puddle. It's a nice sunny day. It's kind of hot outside and you see a puddle in the middle of the road. You ever have that happen to you? You see a puddle in the road? But then you get to it and you realize there was no puddle. It's just the way that the road looked. And what was producing that appearance was heat, of all things. Why would heat produce an appearance? Yeah, heat did it. And because it was hot, and because of what happens to air in the heat and the way that light bends in the air in the heat, it made it look like there was a puddle and there was no puddle. In other words, the Word of God is more trustworthy than even your own eyes, than even your own thinking, than even the things you hear. And the reason why it's more trustworthy is because you don't see what you think you see. First of all, what you think you see, you only see 10% of it. So break it up into 100 little blocks. Everything that you can see kind of in your mind, break it up into 100 little blocks. What you're actually seeing is 10 of those blocks. And your brain takes the information from those 10 blocks, and it has this catalog in your brain, not a literal catalog, but a mental catalog. And it compares that information to the information that's stored, and then it paints a picture. And the picture that it paints is what you see. So you may think you see something, but you can't really rely on it. And the thing that you see, the person next to you may see something completely different. As a matter of fact, scientists are finding that that is so true that if you take colors, for example, what one person calls red, if another person could see through their eyes, they might call it yellow. It's just that we all agree that this thing is a certain color, but the color that we actually end up seeing may be different. So you may call it yellow. If I can see through your eyes, I might call it red. And if somebody else saw through your eyes, they might call it purple. You see, it's all very different. It's all very unreliable. We can't see what we think we see. Now, we can see walls and cars, and that's very useful because you don't want to walk into walls. But to have real understanding of what's going on, you need a whole lot more than seeing. The Word of God provides that understanding. And He says, hold fast to that. Use that. Be confident in that Word of God. Rely on that Word of God. That's really the only place you can be confident in, is in the Word of God. Because you can't really be confident in people. People either go away, or they change their mind, or they change as people. You ever have friends you thought were friends and then were not? You could have swore they were your friends, and maybe they were for a while. But they've changed, and they're no longer your friends. Could you depend on those people? Turns out you couldn't. Maybe you thought you could, but you couldn't. Or maybe people move away. When I was a kid, I had a few friends who moved away. Right? And these were like, hey, these are my great friends, and we'll be friends forever. And then 2 weeks later, yeah, we're moving to Chicago. Oh, that sucked. But that's just the way it works. Right? You can't rely on people. You can't rely on the things you think you know. As a matter of fact, scientists, every 4 years, they have to forget half of what they learned because they found out they got it wrong. And so there's nothing reliable except for the Word of God. Let that be your confidence. Then Hebrews 10:23 says, hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering. In other words, when things happen, respond to them in faith in God's Word. And don't waver. Don't waffle about it. Oh, I don't know. That's such a silly statement. Oh, I don't know. Are you God? Well, of course you don't know. Just trust God and hold fast to it. Don't waver in that. You have a need, God will take care of it. That's faith. And the funny thing is, He really does. He really does take care of it. You have a problem with money? Adults know what I'm talking about. God will take care of it. You have a problem with people? God will take care of it. You have a problem in school, God will take care of it. Now, I'm saying all this out of experience. Later on when you're working, you have a problem at work, God will take care of it. It doesn't matter what it is, God will take care of it. Why? Because you belong to Him. God is good about taking care of His things, and you are one of His things. You belong to God, therefore all of your problems belong to God, all your situations belong to God. Even your good times belong to God. Everything about you belongs to God, and God is very good about taking care. He'll take care of you. Doesn't matter. God, I got hurt by this. Don't worry about it. He'll comfort you. He'll take care of you. He'll help you. Don't waver in that. Don't let go of that. Let that be your confidence. Trust it. Rely on it. Be firm in it. Don't worry about how things look. The outcome will turn out well because God will take care of it. I'm not saying there won't be problems. I'm saying that God's your solution. So whatever it is that you're facing, whether it's easy, hard, doesn't matter. Whether it's big or small, doesn't matter. Whether it's good or bad, doesn't matter. Whatever it is, trust God with it. In the midst of it, you can be relaxed, you can be confident, you can have complete peace, you don't have to be anxious, you don't have to be afraid or nervous. God will take care of it because you belong to Him. Hold fast to these things. Let these things be your source of strength. Hold fast to them because they're the only place where strength can be found. It's always in the Word of God and the things that the Word of God brings to you. That is your strength. That's how you deal with things. If you have a question and you don't know the answer, go to the Word of God. Pray. Go to the Word of God. Those things are real. And they work. Out of experience, I can tell you, they work very well. You guys understand? All right, that's it for today.